Y'all, I have to tell you, I'm at a just a strange place, and so I'm gonna sit down. I have prayed for over 10 years now to experience God the way that I experienced Him in the last little bit. And so I don't know what my demeanor is like, and I don't know what I look like, and all of that. But I can just tell you that. I may not look like it, but I'm in a good place. I'm in a good place because, like I said, I've been praying for God to come like this for 10 years. And so I got a feeling today that this is going to draw you to a decision. Jesus always did that. His life drew people to make a decision. You couldn't stay the same. Something had to change. You either had to run away or you had to run to Him. But you couldn't stay the same. And so I just want to prepare you today that I believe God's going to draw you to a decision in life. If you're visiting with you, I think I apologize. Maybe I don't. I can't tell. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Paul was going through this place, and it said he came to Ephesus. And he found some disciples there. Anytime you see the word disciple, that means a learner. The disciples of Jesus were followers of Jesus and learning from Him. And the disciples of John the Baptist were followers of Him, and they were learners of Him. And so Paul said to them in verse 2, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No. We've not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "In what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." That's John the Baptist. And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in Him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. It says there was about 12 of them. And so, as I was looking at this scripture, you know, all week long, Paul comes in contact with these folks, and he notices that there's something a little bit missing in their conversation or their demeanor or something. He just knows that something's lacking. Some of you fellas who are hunters, you probably know that when you come in contact with a hunter, it doesn't take you long to connect with them, right? You know, you connect over the language and the experience of these sort of shared things. You may have never even went hunting together, but you just know you're in the presence of a hunter. You know, athletics, whatever it may be, you just know when you found someone of like mind and like heart. And so Paul comes in contact with these folks, and he realizes that there's something that's a little bit missing. And so he asks them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" And they said, we don't even know if there is one. We're not even sure if he's come or not. And then he says, "What were you baptized in?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Here's John's baptism. John said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." This is before Jesus ever came. And he was telling people, he said, this was Old Testament now, so this is not for you. I want you to know this part is not for you. He said, John said, you got to repent. You got to get your life right. You got to begin to obey the law because the Son of God is coming, the thing that you want most. He's coming, but you're going to miss him. You got to get your life right, and you got to start obeying the law. And then Jesus came. And when he baptized people, it changed, y'all. Because when Jesus said, "Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," the baptism of Jesus is about grace. And the baptism of Jesus says, you can't, as much as you'd like to get your life straight, you really can't. And you never could. And neither could the people of Israel. Only Jesus can do that. And he said, so When we get baptized in the name of Jesus, you get baptized into His death. And so your old self dies. You get baptized into His resurrected life. And that's where you get new life. It's where you get your changed life. And there's a lot of people that are still being baptized into the baptism of John. That I got to get myself fixed up. Got to make some changes in my life. Got to get some things straight. I want to tell you about two things. Kind of maybe long stories. The first one is this. Look around this room for just a minute. Most of the time, nobody draws your attention to the paint on the walls, but I want to draw your attention to the paint on the walls. Now, ladies, I know that many of y'all came in and painted this. We couldn't seem to get 2 gallons of paint to look alike. And we painted. There's about 60 coats of paint on these walls, maybe more. But we had this guy who came and he painted the building for us. And so I want to tell you that story. He was in need of a job, and he got a job with the contractor who was finishing this building. This is back in January of 2015. All right, so not quite a year. Contractor's Sean Huff, a Christian. And so Sean realized that this guy needed more than a job. He needed Jesus, and so he hired him. He was a painter by trade. He didn't know much about construction, but Sean said that was going to be fine. He'd just, you know, take him. And so this guy was here, and I try not to introduce myself as pastor much because people kind of change once they know you're a pastor. Their language seems to improve. A lot of things change as soon as they know you're a pastor. And I just want to know real people. You know, I don't want to know the images of people. By the way, that's what Jesus wants to know about you too. He just wants to get to know the real you. He knows it anyway. He just like for you to introduce yourself as real to Him and not have to pretend. He only deals in reality, by the way. The Lord only deals in reality. And so back to this guy. He found out I was a pastor. And you ever notice when your spirit can connect with somebody else's spirit, and his spirit put up a wall and it was about 6 feet thick. And I could tell he didn't want anything to do with me. And I would talk to folks, and I'd come in and talk. But over time, he warmed up to me. I think he found out that I wasn't there to, you know, condemn him, and I just tried to have kind of conversation with him. And so he began to warm up to me, and we needed to paint the building, and we needed to get in a hurry. And so he needed work. He needed money. And he offered to paint the building for us, and it was for a ridiculously low price. And I looked at Chris, and I always try to let folks that are in ministry, I try to let them do their ministry. And Chris is over the finances, and I was sitting there thinking, I'm going to let Chris make this decision, but if Chris don't let this boy paint this church, I'm going to strangle him. I'm like, there's no way we could paint this. You can't hardly buy paint, you know, for that. And so Chris was like, absolutely, go ahead. And so he started painting, and I looked at some of the guys. I remember telling you, Jeff Wade, I said, this guy's going to get saved. I said, that's why he's here. I said, he's just here to paint, to make a little money, but the real reason he's here is because he's going to get saved while he's here. And I talked to him, and he painted the building, and he left, and I didn't get to see him. But we had let him borrow one of them big wide rollers, and he said, can I borrow the little receiver for it? Can I borrow it? Because I got a job to do. And I said, man, yeah, you can borrow it. Go ahead. He disappeared. I don't know if his number changed or what. And so he called me one day. He said, hey, it's me. He said, I still got your roller. And I said, well, I'll make a deal with you. I said, you promised me you were going to come to Ember one day. I said, I'll trade you the roller for one time at Ember. And so we had this ongoing joke that he was going to give me one audition. By the way, sometimes that's what it feels like as a pastor. So I'm kind of used to it. And so I was okay with that because I didn't realize, I'm not on audition. You realize that, right? You know why I wanted him here? Not so I could audition for him. I wanted him here because I wanted the folks up here to sing about the love of Jesus to him, because I knew that could change his life. And I wanted him to hear a message about Jesus, because I knew Jesus could change his life. And he had problems. And he admitted that he had problems. And so I lost touch with him. And then about 3 weeks ago, he started calling me. I think it was because he was walking down the road and I blew at him. And I don't know what made me do it. It was the stupidest thing, but I kept driving. And so he called me and he said, "Do all pastors drive past people who are walking?" I said, "The good ones don't." And so we started talking. He said, "I'm coming, I promise." I said, "I want you to." He said, "I'm coming, I'm promise." He said, "Call me on Saturday. Call me on Saturday and remind me to come." And so I'd call him on Saturday and I would say, I'd text him and I'd say, "Are you coming?" And he wouldn't respond. And he called me on Monday. In fact, he called me, I'm almost positive, I tried to look in my phone to see, I'm almost positive he called me this past Monday. And he said, "Kevin, I had a choice of going to church or somebody offered me a job on Sunday. And Kevin, I just needed the money." And so I went and I did the job. And he said, "The whole time I was thinking about you and how I've been promising you that I'm coming to church." And he said, "But I'm coming, man. I promise." He said, "You know, I'm trying to do right, Kevin." It's like that baptism of John. "I'm trying to do right, Kevin." And I said, I'm sure you are, and you've done a lot of good things." He said, You remember what I did for the church, right? I did that because I wanted to do the right thing." I said, "I know you did, and we are grateful." I said, But that's not what salvation's about." I said, You can't ever do enough right." I said, "That's the wrong mindset." I said, "Jason, I want you to come to church not because church saves you. I want you to come to church because I want you to meet Jesus. I want you to meet the person of Jesus. Because if you will meet the person of Jesus, you will never be the same, Jason. And if you can ever find his love for you, everything about your life will change." I said, "So you don't have to change first, Jason. Just come and find the love of Jesus." I know, Kevin. I'm coming. I promise. You call me. You call me Saturday and you remind me." So yesterday I was supposed to call him and remind him. But I got a text yesterday morning from Sean Huff, the contractor. And he said, "Kevin, I just want you to know that Jason got hit by a train this morning. And Jason's dead." I'd just been getting my hair cut. We were making fun of how sometimes when people get drunk, the first place they go is to a railroad track. And I can't make the connection to that. Why is it that people who get drunk go to railroad tracks? There's probably 3 people in Chester have been killed by a train or hurt by a train in the last year, I guess. I used to sit and listen to evangelists, and I thought they told stories about people getting run over by trains. I didn't think they'd ever met anybody like that. I just thought they were trying to scare people, you know, out of hell and into heaven. Can I just tell you that I have no intentions of trying to scare you out of hell today? That's not the gospel. The gospel is not about trying to scare somebody out of hell. The gospel is about allowing somebody to find the love of Jesus, which draws them to the Savior and gives them eternal life. And if you weren't here last week, I talked about the Holy Spirit and how I have for so long wanted the Holy Spirit in my life. But I had built this insulation over my life where people couldn't hurt me. And it was a real advantage to me, because you just couldn't hurt me. I could put you in a place. Gary Watson and I were talking about it, and Gary said, "Yeah, it's a box." I said, "It might be a box for you, Gary." I said, "I got my own closet. I've been doing it for so long, it might even be a room." I said, anything that I think can hurt me, I'll just put it there. And yesterday when I got that text, it said Jason was killed by a train. Y'all, I don't know where Jason will spend eternity. I don't have a clue where he's going to spend eternity. And I wanted to put him in that place so bad. I wanted him to put him behind that door that I got so bad. But I've realized that I can't have the Holy Spirit. I can't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit if I won't receive some of the hurts and the pains of life. And I lay there in bed and I just cried. And Caden called his mama. Some of the women are on a women's retreat, and Caden called his mama, and he didn't know what was wrong, and so she called me, and I mean, what do you say? I can tell you this, that if Jason, he lived long enough that he was alive in the ambulance to the hospital. I can assure you of this, that if Jesus reached out to the Lord, then I guarantee the Holy Spirit reached down to him. And whether it was 10 years or 10 minutes or 10 seconds, the Father will go meet the prodigal, even if the prodigal's in a hospital bed. And so I can't have hope in Jason, but I can have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, that the father of the prodigal will reach down even at the last minute and grab a son or a daughter. And so that's one thing that has changed me. And so I want to ask you today, have you received, what have you been baptized in? It's worth asking, especially after yesterday for me. It's worth asking because I love every one of you. It's worth asking, what have you been baptized into? Have you been baptized into this thing of I got to get my life right? Have you been baptized into the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that says that by his death, burial, and resurrection that you've been saved? And have you been, has the love of God been poured out in your life? And I didn't tell you that story to scare you. I promise you I didn't. Because I don't think that scare tactics worked. Before long, the fear will wear off. But I have found that it's hard to wear off the love of Jesus. I think that's why the Holy Spirit is referred to as oil sometimes. It's because you ever had oil poured on you? Just gets all over you. Hard to get it off. hard to get that stuff off. It just gets all over you. That's the thing about the love of God. When the love of God has been poured out in your heart, it's just hard to get over that when you've had a real encounter with the love of Jesus. And so I want to ask you today, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I want to ask you today, does anybody right here in this room right now need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Did you come by any other way? No other way but Jesus. And so I'm going to ask you to do this. Y'all, we're going to stop right here. Because I didn't know I'd never have another chance to offer salvation to Jason. So I'm going to make sure that I have a chance to offer it to you. So sometimes y'all are easily distracted. If that's the case, close your eyes. And y'all just pray. Is there anybody right here today that this whole getting your life right and getting yourself all fixed up, it just hadn't been working? I want to offer you the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace that says, I will take you just as you are, and I will pour out my love in you, and I will give you my presence. You realize that, y'all? Salvation is not about a ticket to heaven. Do you realize that? We've sold this thing as a ticket to heaven. It's more than that. It's about the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. You know what makes heaven so good? That Jesus is there. That's the joy of heaven, that Jesus is there. It's not about getting a ticket to heaven. Man, we've sold fire insurance and all kind of stuff to people and said, you know, it was just about getting you a ticket to heaven. It's not. It's about the fact that the Holy Spirit of God, the breath of God, wants to dwell in you. And so if you think that heaven's good and you ought to have a ticket to it, then let me just remind you that the presence of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all mankind. That if you receive Jesus, you can receive the Holy Spirit in all of his fullness. And I got to tell you, this thing that's all over me today is that very thing. It's what I've been praying for 10 years. And it feels like heaven, y'all. Does anybody need that today? I'm going to ask you to be bold. I told you you'd have to make a decision. If anybody needs Jesus today, would you just raise your hand? I'll come to you. Just raise your hand and I'll come to you. All right, now y'all look at me. So we've received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We've got a room full, right? That's awesome in one respect. But you know what that means? It means that the Jasons are not in here. They're out there. You hear me? The Jasons are not in here, y'all. And in fact, most of the time, the Jasons don't even know that they can come in here, because they found judgment and they found condemnation and they found all kind of stuff. They don't even think they can come in here. So we can't deceive ourselves in thinking that we're going to have a cool place and we're going to play cool music and we're going to preach cool sermons and somehow Jason's going to come in, because he might not. He's probably going to keep promises that he will. But he'll probably get caught up with money and the lack of it, and he'll probably get caught up with all these kind of things. And so I'm commissioning today anybody who will, and I'm volunteering myself, that I'm like, God, I want to be a soul winner. Yeah, I want to have the power of God so rich and so full, and the love of God so rich and so full in my life that I can go around, because they ain't coming in here. They just not. And so I'm wondering today, is there anybody here that would say that they're willing to be uncomfortable, that they are willing to pursue God and go out there? Because that's where Jason lives. Is there anybody here like that? Stand up for me. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody sitting down, and I'm not asking you to stand up unless this is in your heart. Holy Spirit, I promised that I was going to welcome you into this place, and I don't think I did. And so I want to, before everybody, say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And I want to pray over these folks, because we have had a sorry strategy, God, and I am sorry for it. It absolutely reeks to think that we're going to wait for somebody to come in here and get Jesus. And so I pray over everybody that's standing here today, Lord. I pray over them that you would make them billboards, God. I see some billboards in town. And they got stuff about Jesus on them. And I've been thinking for the longest time, how cool would it be if you could unleash walking billboards all over Chester? If you could just release these billboards that wherever they went, they just leaked of Jesus. So God, start us on this journey. Make us soul winners, Lord Jesus. You've given us everything we need. There's not a thing in us that's lacking, but maybe just the want to. So God, we got the want to. So make us soul winners, God. Fill us with the power of your Spirit, the very love of your Spirit, the love of the Father, the love of Jesus, the love of your Spirit on us. In Jesus' name. You just couldn't get to the next part without that. Okay, you couldn't get this next thing until you get Jesus in your heart. And so he said they hadn't heard whether there was a Holy Spirit, and so he baptizes them in the name of Jesus. And then it says, and then Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak with tongues and to prophesy. He laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them. I want to tell you the story about Kevin. When Kevin was sitting in a chair, and I remember, y'all, I remember my exact location. I even remember, I believe, what the person was wearing. And they began to talk about the Holy Spirit. And as far as I remember, it's the first time that I really consciously heard about the Holy Spirit. And this person told me, they said that the Holy Spirit came, but when he came at Pentecost, and they began to speak in tongues, he said that it was because all these different language groups came in. And so the Holy Spirit allowed them to hear God in their own language. And then he began to say that the Holy Spirit just doesn't do the things that he used to do in the Bible. He said that the Holy Spirit didn't come in the same kind of power that he came in the Bible. And that now, because we have the Bible, that we didn't need the Holy Spirit to come in the ways that that he came in the Bible. It's amazing how the first thing you hear about a subject matter can make a forever impact on your life. And so I spent most of my life believing exactly what I'd been told, that the Holy Spirit don't do what he did in the Bible. But when you reduce him down to that, this just becomes a dead word, folks. This thing just becomes dead. Because even in John chapter 1, it said when Jesus came, he was the Word made flesh. And so it's the Holy Spirit that makes this come alive. When you remove the Holy Spirit from it, and all you got is a dead word, and all we do is sit around and argue over stuff. And for the biggest portion of my life, there was something lacking. And I ran across a guy 10 years ago, literally, y'all, 10 years ago. This is how long this has been going on in my life. 10 years ago, he came up to me and he started telling me things that he couldn't possibly know. This guy was from Florida. He didn't know me. I thought he had been rummaging through my mail. It was just like my heart had been laid open. And he was telling me stuff that he shouldn't know. And they started praying for people. And people started getting saved. And people started getting healed. And I was faced with this decision to make. Was I going to believe the first thing that I had ever heard, or was I going to believe what was happening in my midst? And you know what I did? I went home in Brantley and I got on the phone. That was back when you had one that was plugged into the wall, by the way. So we had to take turns. And we were calling up people. And I can distinctly remember me calling people and saying, "You got to come." And they were like, "Come where?" I'm like, "You got to come to church." And they were like, "Why?" I said, like, "Because God's going to be there." How did I know that God was going to be? He hadn't been there in a long time. You know? But I was sure. I was sure that he was there. And I was sure he was in those folks. And I wanted everybody I knew. I was like, it was the first time it ever happened. I was calling up everybody I could think of. Like, "You got to come. God's going to be there." They're like, "Well, what's he going to do?" I'm like, "I don't know. I don't know, but he's going to be there and you should come." And it was amazing. And God did some powerful things. And I remember beginning to ask God to pour out his presence in my life. And I began to practice the presence of God. There's a really cool book, Practicing the Presence of God. It's an old book. One of the oldest ones I've read. People around here know I love to read books from dead people. This guy's been dead a long, long time. He's been dead twice as long as most of the people that I read. His brother Lawrence. And he practiced the presence of God, meaning that he so desperately wanted God's presence in his life that he just tried to keep God in his presence all day long. And so he wanted to be conscious of the filling of the Spirit all day. And so he went from, some of you are probably at that place where you're just trying to get a devotion going in the morning, right? You know, and you're just like, "I'm just trying to get a devotion going. Maybe if I can just think about him before I run off into the world and do everything." You know, and you're just trying to get a devotion. Well, he got more hungry than that. And so he was like, I want him at lunch and dinner too. And then when he had him at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, he wanted him in between times. You know, breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner, before you go to bed, Holy Spirit, snack. And then the more he had him, the more he wanted him, and he just couldn't get enough. And so the more he wanted him, the more he got him, the more that he wanted him. And he was a monk. And so they would have these regimented times for prayer every day. And he writes in a letter to somebody, he says, I don't know what you call the person over a monk, the guy in charge of the monks, told him, "It's time to come to prayer." And he wrote to this person, he says, "You know, I do it because I want to respect his authority in my life. But honestly, the presence of God is as full in that moment of prayer at the altar as he is when I'm washing dishes." That was his job at the monastery. He washed dishes for everybody. And he said, "It doesn't really matter. I don't have to go to prayer. I do it because the monk person wants me to. But I'm as much in his presence anytime." And so Kevin's been on this 10-year journey to where I have wanted the Holy Spirit. I had long past moved past this thing of I hadn't heard whether he's here or not. I couldn't make the argument. I don't know if he's around or not. I'd seen him do too many things, and I've seen him do things along the way. And I have been hungry for him along the way. But something happened, y'all, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I just got starved for him. Just starved. It might have something to do with some of y'all. Because I've watched you guys. And you guys will just do anything. I mean, y'all crazy. Y'all just a bunch of crazies. You know? And I began to think, and I said, you know what? These folks will do anything. God, what an awesome responsibility to make sure that if I ever tell them to do something, that I know without a doubt that you've said do it. And I said, the only way I'm ever going to know if what I'm telling them to do is what you're 100% into, because I don't want to lead them into anything else. I don't want you to look down the road 10 years like me and look back and say, I've tasted a little bit. I just want you to be slap drunk. And so I believe part of it was you guys, just knowing that you do anything and wanting to make sure that we did the right thing, that we did the thing that was the Holy Spirit had led us to do. So I just got so hungry. And God would begin to send people. He sent somebody, and God stopped me after church, and he said, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you that if you just ask him to come, he'll come. I wanted to choke him. I just wanted to talk. I was like, you don't know how bad I want him to come. You don't know how bad I'm praying and asking him to come. And I know there's a promise of him coming. You realize there's a promise of him coming, right? In Acts, I had no idea. I ain't even come up here with a watch. I had no idea what time it is. Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came and Peter starts preaching, and it says, and it shall be in the last days. What's the last days? Yeah, ever since he said that, it's been the last days. I hate that it's been a long time, but the last days is the last days. There are no other last days. Okay, does that make sense? You in this that he's talking about. In the last days, God said that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. Not just the disciples. Not just the apostles. The very disciple and apostle Peter said, on all mankind, and he was quoting from the book of Joel. And it says, on your sons and your daughters they shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bondservants, both men and women, and I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, just in case you didn't believe me the first time I said it. I will pour forth my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs in the earth below. And you go on down, and in verse 21 it says, and it shall be, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. And so I just got so hungry. And I realized that I wanted the Holy Spirit to come, but I had this preference for how he came. Yeah, I didn't want him. I'd seen the Holy Spirit, or what people had called the Holy Spirit. I had seen it, and it looked a little scary to me. And so I had in my mind, God, I want you to come, but there's ways that I don't think that you will come. There's ways that you could come. There's ways that I don't think you should come. And you know what I had to do? I had to surrender all of those. I had to surrender, particularly the ones that I didn't think he should come in some ways. It was undignified, I thought. And here is my last word to you. The dignified Christians have had the run of things for over 1,000 years now. Did you hear me? Dignified Christianity's had about a good 1,000 years to do what it was going to do. There was a movie, and I don't know if this is a good quote or not, but I'm going to use it anyway. The phrase was, "You have been weighed, you have been measured, and you have been found wanting." I think dignified Christianity has been weighed, it has been measured, and it has been found wanting. And so I had to surrender my dignified Christianity. Because here's what happens. You get what you want. You realize that? Do you hear me? You get what you want. And so if you want dignified, you'll get dignified. You hear me? If what you want is to remain dignified, then you can remain dignified. And that's what you'll get because that's what you want most, is to be dignified. I want to be remain dignified. I want your Holy Spirit, but I want to be dignified. You get what you want. And for a long time, Kevin has been fairly dignified. And at this point, I got to tell you, I'm at a place where I just could care less. Because I want God so much, I don't even want to put any restrictions anymore. Now, if you want to be sloppy, you can be sloppy too. You know, if you just want to be a sloppy Christian, you can be sloppy and you can chase after being sloppy. I don't want to be sloppy. I want Jesus. I want the Holy Spirit. And do you realize that the Holy Spirit is a person? Do you realize that? He's a person. And for so long, I was good with God the Father. Some of you may not have been in contact with God the Father. You thought it was God with a switch or a stick. And you got to come to a place where you see God as Father. I'd come to God as Father. Who don't love Jesus? Oh my goodness. You know, who doesn't love Jesus? Even people that aren't saved, they can't argue with Jesus. Yeah? So I had the love of God, I had the of Father, I had the love of Jesus. That Holy Spirit, he scared me a little bit. And I had to really go back and repent and say, Holy Spirit, you are the presence of God here on earth. Do you realize that? You might like to call it Lord. You might like to call him Jesus. You might like to say Father. But do you know who the Spirit of God is today on earth? It is the Holy Spirit. God the Father is in heaven. The Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He said, when I go, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, now I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send somebody because I don't want to leave you an orphan. All right? Those two are in heaven. You'd be an orphan, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is the presence of God on earth. And so if you have a problem with the Holy Spirit, then you have a problem with the presence of God here on earth, and you're going to have to get over that. You're going to have to get over yourself because he is the presence of God here on earth. And I don't know about you, but as soon as I got over the fact of telling him how he could come, as soon as I got over the fact of wanting to be dignified, as soon as all I wanted was him, my goodness, y'all. 10 years in the making. And I felt the Holy Spirit more than I have ever felt him before. But I don't think it's supposed to just remain with me. And so are you hungry? Are you thirsty? A hungry and a thirsty man will stop at nothing, right? You ever thought about that? A hungry and a thirsty person, they'll stop at nothing. You want to know if you're hungry or thirsty, what will you stop at? Are you hungry and thirsty? And if so, it said that Paul laid hands, and there's just something about that transfer, I think. There's just something about that, because a gift's got to be received. You realize that? A gift's got to be received. You have to receive the gift of salvation. It's there. It's there for every one of you. You got to receive it. The gift of the Holy Spirit, he's there. But if you've been at one of them places where you're like, I ain't even know if he was real. I ain't know if he still did the stuff that he used to do. Yeah. At some point, you got to get to a place where you're like, you know what? I would like some of that. And I'm at this place, y'all, where I want him. It's like the more I seek him, the more I find him. And the more I find him, the more I love him. And I've just laid this week listening to a song about that. It says those very words. I just laid in the floor and just wept. And just enjoyed the presence of God. And so here's what we're going to do. It's another decision time. All of you either said that you didn't want Jesus or you had him. And so now I'm going to ask you this. How many of you want the filling of the Holy Spirit? And, and here's the thing. Y'all, we're not going to be one of them people who, what's the date? November the what? Hey, we're not going to be with those people that said, you know what, I got filled on November the 8th. There's people walking around that said, I got filled with the Spirit back in 1940. I'm like, well, congratulations. It's 2015. It's like Back to the Future. Yeah? Y'all, what we're going for here is not these one-time things. It's about a lifestyle of being hungry for God. Do you understand that? It's not about a one-time encounter. This thing is about drinking from a well that never runs dry. The word in Ephesians 5, it says, be ye filled, constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. It refers to them as though someone who was drinking. And so, I don't know much about getting drunk. The Lord protected me from that part of my life. I'm not trying to sound uppity, but I've been drunk a little bit lately. And I've watched it enough to know if you want to get drunk, what do? You just drink as much as you can, as fast as you can. And somebody look at you and say, well, how do you know you're going to get drunk? Just keep drinking. You just keep drinking. If you just keep drinking, I guarantee you something's going to happen. What is it with the Holy Spirit? How in the world do you receive and stay full of the Holy Spirit? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what it looks like. Just drink. And just drink as much as you can, as fast as you can, and then you let Him worry about the rest. Because I can tell you, we cannot do what this world needs. We cannot be what this world needs unless we are full of the Spirit of God. Can't do it. We cannot minister to the world. We cannot minister to the Jasons. We can't do it unless we have been filled with the Spirit of God. And so I'm at this place. I'm hand in mouth, y'all. If somebody was to ask me, what's the God going to do in your church in 2015? I'm like, dude, all I'm trying to do right now is just drink what He's giving me right now. I'm like, I'm kind of hand in mouth at this point. And I have no idea. I didn't even know what I was going. I knew some things today, but I'm like, God, whatever you do, just more of you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play that song that's been ministering to me this week. It says, the more I seek Him, the more I find Him, the more I find Him, the more I love Him. And then there's a portion, if you stay longer, it says, you can love me more in an instant than anyone else can love me in a lifetime. That's the love of the Lord Jesus. And then there's another phrase that says, I want to be a laid down lover. And I said, what does that mean? And what that means is this. We say that, Lord Jesus, I am laying down my life, my old one, for the promise of new life. So we lay down a current life for the promise of new life. And then I thought the second part's almost prophetic. It says we're going to do things that nobody's done before. We're going to go places that people have never gone before. And I can tell you, we will not go there unless we have been filled by the Spirit, because that's how you get there. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.